money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
Yes, I'm ready to talk money.
Well, that is a good thing because it's just you and I in the studio. And the reality is if it was just me doing a monologue about money, that might go good for about 5 minutes and then it doesn't go so good. So welcome to the show. Thanks.
I've heard you talk on and on about money in a seminar.
So. Yeah, that's probably true. I'm downplaying it a little
You're
bit.
Downplaying
so
it a little
so
bit,
let's so. Just thank you for joining us in the show. Finding the show anywhere, really, that you find your podcast. So if you're listening to your podcast listener and it's not on your podcasting platform and you found us on YouTube or you found us somewhere else, please let us know. info@morethanenough.ca is a great way to communicate with us. And we'll get on that platform. If you're on YouTube, if you're listening at CHRI on Friday morning at 9 a.m., welcome. You're in our community. So... today, we're going to be swearing a little bit.
Oh,
so plug your ears.
All the people are going to turn off now.
No, don't. Okay. So if you've listened to the show, you know that I consider the word budget a swear word.
Little excessive, don't you think?
It is. I am that strong about my opinion on the word
okay,
budget.
Okay, fair enough.
But we are going to talk about this idea. You may have heard it. You may not have heard it. We're going to talk about this idea of defensive budgeting. But before we do that, I want to read a scripture verse. I get to read it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give a shout out to LTR Industries. So if you're in the Ottawa area and you own a commercial property or commercial building and you are thinking about doing some upgrades or you're thinking about creating some beautiful space in your commercial space, LTR Industries is the place to go. They are a commercial millwork factory, which just means they make all kinds of beautiful places inside commercial space. So LTR Industries here in Ottawa. And of course, we're good friends with Brian and the team there.
And I actually don't know if they're hiring right now, but they use this phrase that they hire for values and attitude and train to the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are interested in even in working in that kind of career, maybe reach out to them and ask them what that would look like.
Sounds good. Okay. And then I get to read the scripture. So the scripture today, Proverbs chapter 3, we love Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 3, there is so much wisdom in so many different ways in Proverbs. And verse 13 is where we're going to hang a little bit. And it just says this, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. And we don't think of wisdom like that often. We, again, in the world that we live in and all that's around, I'm thinking if you handed me and said, Dave, here's the choice, a handful of wisdom or a handful of rubies, you know what? I might be tempted to take the rubies, but scripture's clearly saying here, take the wisdom, Dave.
Well, and I was just thinking because ruby is my birthstone, and I love, I know, I love a nice ruby, but we've never. You can buy little ones, but they're quite costly, mm-hmm. actually. And when you hear that verse, that's a very practical picture. And often we desire gold more than we desire wisdom, and.
And there's something else there that struck me when I read that verse, and that is, it starts with saying, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. And so often we hear this, and this is not a, you know, this is actually a real thing that we hear, you know, like I've succeeded, I've got the money, I've got all of that. And I'm still feeling a bit empty, especially in our culture where we have so much. I've got a good job. I've got good, you look around at the outside and you think everything's actually pretty good, and yet I don't feel the joy. And I wonder, again, that might be a topic for another show to say, I wonder if the connection there where pursuing wisdom leads to joy. Pursuing rubies and gold and silver, well, maybe it doesn't lead to joy.
So. Well, I mean, if we talk about it a little further, I mean, often Jesus is represented as that wisdom, as it's wisdom we seek, it's Jesus we seek. Mm-hmm. And when we find Jesus, when we find wisdom in Jesus, we find joy. So, I mean, that's a whole other topic that's we're not going to talk about today. No. But I just find it interesting. And why are we using those verses today when we're talking about this idea that I read about in the Globe and Mail by an economics reporter? Her name's Erica Lalini. And she was talking about this idea of defensive budgeting. And what on earth does that mean? So you can Google it, I'm sure, and go find out what she's talking about. But as I'm reading the article, I'm thinking about so many of our clients who are on contract work, who are looking for answers to income that's not consistent. Right. So you earn.
In fact, that's a pretty common statistic. I don't have it in front of me, but there's a statistic around income instability. That's in a sense the word or the buzzword that it is. And it just speaks to this idea that in our current in Canada here, there is a growing observation that income instability is a real thing. Again, we've identified it in the sense of saying lots of people are struggling with the stability of income.
And well, I didn't even know that. That's an interesting. So we've got defensive budgeting, which is what this economics reporter uses. We know you don't like the word budgeting, but I wanted to talk about it because I met with a number of clients recently, and you know, they have their job, but they also have a little business or a side gig. You know, they're trying. And I have another friend who's just really restarting her career, and it's contract work. And how does she navigate the expenses she has, the income? But some months the income is less than the expenses. Right. So, like, what? Because you advise a lot of people on the cash flow management when this is the real world. A lot of even businesses are putting contract work into place so that so it's not as costly for the business, yep. Right? Yep. And so how do you manage a spending plan and plan your monthly living when this is the case?
Right. And so this is really key, and we're going to get really practical today in terms of how that goes. And I'll try it. I'm going to be a little bit general because we have to be a little bit general. And that's why we started with these verses talking about wisdom. The first thing you can do is really go, okay, here's our current situation. We might have a certain amount of income that I know I can count on every month. Mm-hmm. That income is, you know, I might make more some months, but I always make X number of dollars, right? So if you can determine that, then from your kind of regular income that's coming in, that is extremely helpful because now we can actually create a plan. And again, why I hate budgeting, because budgeting kind of gives you this reactive look of, okay, we made a plan in January, we're going to do it over the course of the whole year, and it's going to break by March. It just will. And so especially in this case where there is a potential, we want to create our regular everyday spending, the things we need to spend, those things, we have to see if they match up with that minimum income that I'm going to make. And so you're really sitting down and determining, and you can't do that over a year, which is why, again, from a budgeting standpoint,
so you're like, saying look at it over like a month.
You can kind of look out and say, okay, in the next 2 months, I got these things coming up that are going to be income generating. I know I'm going to get paid on them. So now I can plan my spending based on those two things. And what experience has taught us is that most people can think pretty clearly 2 months in advance. You can look out 2 months and say, hey, I know what money's coming in. I know what money is going out. I have a pretty accurate view of that. If you have to back that up to 1 month, then you have to back that up to 1 month. Whatever that time period is that you can say, I can determine this is what I'm, this is the money I need to generate to cover my expenses. So again, so a plan means, hey, I start at the beginning. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So at the beginning, I make the plan. Then I am monitoring that. So did the income come in at the time that it said it would? Did it come in the amount that it said it would? And if the answer is yep, then your spending is going to match that.
So one of the questions, like there's so many thoughts running through my mind. And again, we're making general comments because every story is different, but knowing when the income is coming is really important. When you're starting out, you don't always know that when you're billing and how fast is the return from that the business you've had the contract with, how fast do they return and give you that check and find out what the turnaround time is so that you can make that plan. I mean, Dave, I'm hearing that we need to be so aware of.
Financial awareness creates empowerment.
I feel like this is awareness on steroids, like knowing the details. And sometimes we don't want to do the details. We think, oh, well, I'm getting this contract and getting $5,000. It'll be in my account. And then there'll be enough to go on a vacation. There'll be enough, but that's not necessarily really what we want, because we want to be planning ahead. I guess that's the phrase, that defensive part from that, the lady in the article I read, she was saying like, she does this at the beginning of the year. She does a big look at her year. What are the big envelopes like property tax or a vacation or, she has tiers of what's important. And then she starts filling these envelopes, right?
Yeah. And again, having read the article to say that there's nothing wrong with that, she has a certain amount of income that she knows is stable.
Yes. And well, so her husband's income.
So that's their situation. And so she's really saying, you know, there's a bunch of things that happen that are going to come from the income that I make, that I generate outside of that stable income. And those are the envelopes or the pots that I get to fill up. And so there's not as much of a time pressure on that. She's able to buy the groceries. She's able to buy the to buy the everyday stuff and pay the mortgage. But you know what? Property taxes are due 3 times a year. So I can save up some money here at the beginning or when my gig is going well and fill up those envelopes so that they're full, so that when the bill comes due, the money is there. And again, there's nothing wrong with that strategy. But in their case, the reality is there is some stable regular income coming in.
Right.
And we may be talking to people that are self-employed, small business, and you know, they are the business. And so they're going, well, I don't actually have that baseline income. That I don't know what that baseline income is. Sometimes you can look back historically. So you can look back at your 12 bank statements from last year and say, okay, is the business that I'm looking forward at, is that business and that income going to be similar to last year? And if the case is yes, then you can actually look at that and go, well, okay, these months of the year were really great months. I made a lot of money. And over the course of the year, you know, this was the amount of money that I made. This is how much money I put aside for taxes or for HST. So some of these things you're kind of putting in, this is the money I got to spend. And that's an important exercise to go through if you don't know what it is. And you can look back a year or two and say, oh, yeah.
You know. So you're doing a projection really based on what's happened the year before, and you're hoping either it gets better or it's the same, at least not less.
Well, and it also gives you a rhythm of your year. So again, you may know this just in your guts. You may say, hey, you know what? In January, February, March are typically months where I don't make a lot of money on my side gig. And so those months, we might just say, okay, well, if those are low months, what are the months that are high? Because the reality is that we want to try and smooth out what is kind of business income that goes up and down and up and down. And we want to smooth that out a little bit when the money comes over into your personal spending.
So as you know what you need every month, so right. you've figured it out, I need X number of dollars every month. And
so let's just say $5,000 okay, so of expenses that I need to spend every month.
Every month.
To keep
and that fills the envelope. That's putting money aside every month for property tax or my mortgage or all those things. And of course, we're making some assumptions that people are knowing, like you need to understand what your expenses are. For and sure. you need to know what you're so let's say I have 1 month where I'm going to bring $7,000 in a contract. Do I have freedom just to spend that $2,000 extra?
The answer is yes, but not right now.
Okay.
Right. Because again, there's going to be that rhythm.
No, but I want to go on a holiday. So I want to go out for a weekend with my girlfriends. I'm like, okay, I've got the money. The money's here.
Right.
But I know it's a leading question because I think I know what you're going to say.
Well, you tell me.
Well, I think you're going to tell me that I should take that $2,000 extra and put it in another savings account so that it's, and I build it like an emergency cushion. So when I have the January, February, March slower months, I'm actually drawing income for myself out of that space because I've saved it in the, it's kind of like, I don't know, Joseph, when he took all that extra, in Egypt when they were saving for the 7 years of
5% went into the storehouse.
Right. So, you know, is that a little bit like that? We're putting away money, the extra for the lean months.
So this is the wisdom part, going back to our wisdom. So the wisdom would say, you know what? We know that there are some months where you're going to make a lot more money and there's some months where you're going to make a lot less money. So wisdom says, yeah, we need to, during the months we are making more money, we need to actually put that money aside, put it in the storehouse for the times that are lean. You know, that's wisdom. And of course, that's the Joseph story, right? As right. we think of that Joseph story, that's the dream God gave Pharaoh, is there's going to be good years, there's going to be not so good years. I'm not telling you what to do. It's interesting. You know, God didn't actually tell Pharaoh what to do. He just gave him the dream and said, this is what's going to happen. And the wisdom came to, so what do we do now? Now that we know there's 7 years of the year and there's 7 years of good and 7 years of bad, this might be 1 month of good, 1 month of bad. What do I do? Wisdom says, okay, let's talk to the Lord. How do I prepare for that, right? What do we do? Practically, do I put that money away? Or has the Lord supplied this money for a purpose? And I love this question. It's a great question to ask when there's a surplus. So I met my $5,000. That's my plan. I did it. That money came in. And the Lord actually saw fit to bring in $7,000. And so now I'm like, Lord, so what do I do with the extra? Wow. Do I put that aside? Is there a need right now that you're going to put in front of me that I need to address? And I'm going to use that money to do that. We might call that giving, but the Lord's calling that
a need in another place,
right? Again, many of us have had the story where, you know, some money comes in and man, the car breaks down the next day. And we feel discouraged about that.
We do.
And yet, the turnaround is, wow, thank you, Lord, that, you know I had plans for that money, you know, going out or vacation, but we had to use that money to keep the car on the road. So thank you for supplying that money for what we need at the time that we need it, because sometimes that's the way it works out. I also want to speak to the practical side of, if fluctuating income is a big part of your normal income, you might be self-employed, you might be on contracts, there might be periods of time where there's no income coming in and there's periods of time where there's lots of income coming in. This is what the emergency cushion is all about. In a sense, it's almost a planned emergency in the sense of saying, you know what, if you're self-employed, having 6 months worth of expenses in your savings account is really important, because there might be a few months that you're between contracts. And so you're going to live off that money you've saved for 3 months. You still have some cushion. You still have 3 months there. Mm-hmm. That is your kind of minimum. If you drop below 3 months, you're like, okay, we better be running out to see what we can do about work or what that might look like. But the reality is if fluctuating income is actually a normal part, it might mean that you just need to have look at that rhythm of your year and say, yes. So during the 8 months of the year where I'm making money, I have to put aside some money. And I'm going to speak to teachers. I know a lot of teachers live in this cycle all the time. From September to June, they're paid. And they get their pay and it's every day. And then July and August, the months where you actually are spending some other money, like it's not the normal months because you're off work. The struggle is well, now I don't have any actually income. So I'm going to use credit for July and August. And then in September and October, I'm in a bit of a recovery mode because now my pay is back, but I've got all this debt that I'm carrying for my credit card. So by the time Thanksgiving comes, you're actually pretty thankful I got it paid off because Christmas is coming. And so there's a rhythm there. They say, well, wait a minute. If we started in January and I started taking some money and just putting aside into my summer fund, and I just, even if it's a few thousand dollars and it's half of the normal pay that you might get, then you go, oh, good. My actual pay doesn't decrease during those months. I just have to do some planning around that. So there's an example. I know teachers have been, some of that's been changing, but I know that's a pretty regular rhythm for a lot of teachers is, man, I got all this time now in July and August, but I don't have any cash to do anything. And that's frustrating. I can understand that. So that's one way, is just creating an emergency cushion for you. The other thing that we didn't really talk about or alluded to was, if your income is fluctuating and you know, we're using that $5,000 number and your, I'm going to just say, this is more towards the business people, the self-employed people, that you can pay yourself. So you run your business out of your business account and have a separate account, whether it's a personal account that you name your business account or whether it's an actual business account, is have a separate account for that business transactions. First of all, it makes it significantly easier for your accountant, for your tax time, to figure out what are the expenses and what are the income and what is that in terms of your business actually being successful, and pay yourself out of that business account the same amount every 2 weeks. Treat yourself like one of your employees.
So you're saying, you know, even if you have a small side business,
sure,
that if you have that extra space, then you know it's a little bit clearer how much money is in there coming in as income, how much, like if you're a crafty person, let's say, and you have a little woodworking business, and you know what you're selling and you know what the cost, like the costs are clear, but you're keeping it separate from your personal living expenses.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, what we want to do, and this is a relatively easy way, is that we want to actually see if the time and energy and resources you're spending on your side gig, if they actually make you money, or if they're just fooling you into thinking that, hey, I'm pulling out money, but slowly there's more and more and more expenses that we sometimes don't think about. Like I said, an accounting expense, or, you know, if you've got a side business, you may have to pay taxes. And so you may not have accommodated.
For the table at the fair, or the gas to get to the fair.
Right. Yeah. So keeping that separate all of a sudden goes, well, if there's always money in my business account, then I know that I'm pulling out the right amount. And again, my time I'm paying you for my time. Right. I might not be paying me for sufficiently for my time.
It might only work out to $4 an hour, but you are drawing something out.
And you're drawing it consistently so that you can say, okay. And then once or twice a year, you can say, wow, there's a lot of money in. I've looked at my rhythm. I'm coming into a season where there's actually going to be more income coming in. I can take out a little draw, and that's going to go towards my vacation. So yes, this is the way I kind of fund my vacation is that if I'm successful in my side gig or I'm successful in that, then I know that I can spend lots of money on the vacation. Or if I'm having a bad year, I also know that the vacation is going to be the one thing we're going to have to
I'm hoping that in the personal side, that's an envelope. A vacation fund is happening over there, that you're not relying on the extra just to do the vacation. You're actually, I mean, this comes to planning. I mean, the big word I hear over all of this is planning, awareness and planning, and having an emergency cushion. And then having, if you have a business, that you keep that business as small as it might be, separate.
100% separate.
100% separate from your actual, that $5,000 you need every month.
Get that business out of your personal account.
Yeah. And keep it separate. So you know what it's costing you. So you know what kind of income it's bringing in, and then you pay yourself. I mean, these are really practical, mm-hmm. I'm hoping helpful things for folks, things that maybe others haven't thought of before, but it does take awareness. It does take planning. It does take a certain wisdom, which we remember from scripture today, mm-hmm. is more precious than rubies or gold. And those who find it are filled with joy. It will ease the stress. It may not be good news when you see that your little business isn't doing what you think it is, but then you're aware. And then you've always said, I know you've said this over the years, then you just accept the fact that that side gig is actually a hobby that's costing you money. Right. And that's okay too.
100% that's okay, right? So, you know, again, it's when we start counting on that money in our personal spending, and we, again, there's a verse that just talks about don't presume on the future, right? And mm-hmm. so we find we do that, especially as self-employed people, we're like, okay, I did all this work and there may be a delay between the time I finish the work, send the bill out, and the time I get the money. And, you know, we all do this with our tax returns is we spent it six times over in our head, right? And so when you finally get the tax return, you're like, oh shoot, I think I just spent it. I don't have enough because I.
And if you're not talking to your partner, then he's already spent it in his head and it's going all kinds of places that you didn't know it was going to go.
So let's end on some of these, you know, kind of notes to say, first of all, you know, if you have fluctuating income, creating a real firewall, the degree of separation between your personal and your business side, whatever that business is, if it's a viable business, it is designed. Business makes you money. If it doesn't make you money, it might be a hobby. Nothing wrong with that. But it's really good to know how much you're going to inject into that hobby. And again, it takes about probably an hour a week. You know, that's the kind of rhythm you want to sit down and do it.
And consider yourself, like you are, you know, with contract work or whatever, you are paying yourself and you need to sit down and figure it out and treat it like a business.
In that sense. Can you pray for us?
Yeah, I can. Oh, why we're that close to the end. Father, thank you so much for our morning. Thank you for the wisdom you impart and the practical tools and tips that you give us to manage the resources that you have blessed us with. We thank you for our time together today. Amen.
So shout out to LTR Industries. As Reb mentioned, I'm assuming they look for staff. If you're in that industry in construction, maybe you can check it out. If you're in commercial and you want to redo a fresh space, then feel free to reach out to them and join us next time when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.